says the Gemara, number one, when we're cutting your testament base. Amar Shmuel, Mutter La'aris Isha B'cholosh HaMoed, Shema Yikadmenu Acher. Right, you're allowed to Irisin Kiddusha HaMoed. Why? Even though it might be Usher, different sheet is why it might be Usher, but there's a heter in Cholomoy called Dover HaAved. Right, and here you might lose something because if you're not, if you don't betroth the girl, then someone else might steal her. So the Gemara asks the obvious question: and we are Shmuel should become a how could Shmuel say to Dover HaAved to get betrothed, you can use a Cholomoy because someone else might steal the girl? The Hamer of Yudom or Shmuel, the Shmuel himself said, "B'chol yom v'yom batkol yotzei fe'omeret bat ploni l'ploni stay ploni l'ploni." Every day the batkol rings out and says, "This guy will marry this girl, and this guy will farm this field." So if it's predestined by a bat kol who you will marry, then it's not a dover ha'avi, because no one can steal the girl, because you're predestined to marry her. Ella, the Gemara answers, Shema yikadmenu acher berachamim. What does rachamim mean? In Gemara language, tefillah. Right? So what does it sound like if we stopped here? What does it sound like the principle is? It's predestined who you'll marry, but...
change.
But it can change through...
tefillah.
To tefillah. If someone, but it's a dover ha'avi, because someone else might daven to marry this girl, and then that will change your predestined fate. Now let's read the next part of the Gemara, a story. Kiha de Rava Shame Lahau Gaber Dubai Rachmi via Amar. Rava heard a guy davening and saying, "Tis damen li planita. I want to marry, make available for me," meaning let me marry, I don't know, planita, Sprintzy. I want to marry Sprintzy. Amar le, Rava said to the guy, "Lo tibar Rav Chinchachi, don't daven thus." Why? Because we want to shach. Ichaz yolach lo azlaminach. If she's fit for you, mean if she's your basherta, they say in Yiddish. If she is, if the bat kol says she's going to marry you, then she won't go. She won't go away from you. You don't have to daven. If she's your predestined mate, then you'll marry her. Ve'ilo, and if not, kafarta b'Hashem. What does he mean? If not, you'll be kofar in Hashem. If she's not your predestined mate and you daven for her, what will happen? Why will you become a kofar?
Asking something against the will of God.
Because you're asking something against the will of God, and what's going to happen? You're not going to get it.
You'll be smoked.
And if you're not going to get it, then you'll end up being a kofar, because you'll get mad at God. That's what Rashi is. Number two, kafarta b'Hashem be'emunah. You will lose your emunah. Ka'amar lo masayet slo t'klum. Because you'll say, davening doesn't help at all. Whole for lo mazamdali, since she doesn't come available to marry you. Kalomar hashtet t'lin olam, meaning I daven for her for lo masayet milson. It didn't work out. Right? So, that's what he said. If you're going to marry her, you'll marry her. If not, even though we learned about tefillah, how it's helpful. No, when it comes to marriage, it doesn't work. It's predestined. Either yes or no. Tefillah is not going to help. Continuing the Gemara. Afterwards, he heard him say, either, often when you say bad things, the Gemara has a euphemistic way, third person instead of first person. So, ihu means me. Either let me die before her, or let her die before me. What does that mean? What was the guy davening for? Why was the guy davening for one of them to die? So, let's read Rashi, second line. Amar ilo min sabah, if I'm not going to marry her, o'i Thomas Gavai, either she should die before me, so I won't see her marry someone else and have to suffer. O'i hu atzmor, I myself, yomus mikame dithins va'ili idach, don't continue reading Rashi yet. Or I should daven for, meaning what he says, Hashem, I give up. I'm not going to marry Sprintzy. Sprintzy's going to marry someone else. Either kill me or kill her, because I can't bear to see her walk down the aisle with someone else. Right? That's like super duper romantic in the most illogical sense of the word. Right? He's so lovesick for her that he'd rather die or her die than see her marry someone else. Okay, so what happened? What did Rava say to the guy now? Amrle, lava minalach lotibay loz melsa. Right? I told you so. Didn't I tell you not to daven for Sprintzy? Look what happened to you. This is what Rav said. Right? This is a common thing in Chazal. When they want to prove something, they prove it from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. That Hashem gives a woman to a man. This week's parsha, Vayan Lavanim 12, Vayom Hashem Itzah Davar. They said it clearly it was Ashkacha Pratis in this week's parsha. Clearly it was a sign from Hashem, that Hashem arranged for Rivka to marry Yitzchak. Min ha-Neviim dechtiv ha-Vivim o lo yadu kimi Hashem hu. Neviim and Shimshon, also, like, his parents thought it was crazy, why is he off the derech and marrying this Plishti girl? And they didn't realize, no, it was all part of the divine plan to save the Jews from the Plishtim. Min ha-Ketuvim, Ketuvim is the best proof, because Torah and Neviim are examples. But how do you know it's true for everyone? Ketuvim, it's true for everyone. It says explicitly, Bayit v'hon nachlat avot, you can get wealth and a house, inherit from your father. Umei Hashem yishamas kelet, but you can't inherit a wife. Only Hashem can give you a wise woman, a wise wife. Okay, now, here's the tricky part. If I already asked you the upshot of the story, does davening help to change who you'll marry or not? What's the whole point of the story? Does davening work to change who you'll marry?
No.
What does Rabbi say to the guy? Don't daven. If it'll work out, it'll work out. If not, it'll just lead to kfira. And here's where all the Rishonim have trouble. The halach part of the sugya basically says it's a davar ha'avik, because davening could change who you'll marry. So therefore, marry her during Chol HaMoed, lest someone else daven. The whole point of the story is that davening won't change who you'll marry. But yet, the story is brought kiha, is brought as a support of the halacha. So clearly, there's some disconnect here, and we have to explain whether davening works or davening doesn't work. So there are three answers explicitly in the Rishonim, plus one that we have to fill in a little. Anyone want to try to solve this problem?
I think the Sharet, if you interpret it in the sense that you can daven for the one specific person who will be designated for you by God. Anything else, you mean you could daven to be seen in the designated way God, to be following the way God set for you. So they follow the path God set for you.
Okay, but it's not a davar ha'avim in Chol HaMoed, because if she's for me, then no one else could daven because she's not for them.
You could say that she could be designated for multiple people if they tune into the right light, perhaps.
Designated for multiple people. That's interesting. That's interesting. Maybe she could be designated for multiple people. I never haven't thought of that. That would solve the problem.
All the power of davening than anybody who puts the effort in, so to speak.
Right, but then it wouldn't work anymore. It's exactly. A story. Okay, something to think about.
So it is true that when you daven, you can allow yourself to marry someone else. But then it's not that Rav is saying that if you're supposed to marry her anyway, then fine, nothing that changes. And if you're not supposed to marry her, it's contrary to God's wishes, and therefore it's bad for you to marry her, because Hashem, like in His grand scheme, it's inherently bad for you to marry her. And why daven for someone that's bad for you?
Aha. Okay. Good. Although that doesn't seem to read very smoothly into the way we read the Gemara, which is like, If she's for you, she's for you, and if not, you'll be a kofer, you should have said. And if not, it'll be bad. But I'm going to come back to that. I want to show three answers so far in the Mishnah. Yeah.
Maybe Nithuim Rishonim and Nithuim Shneim.
Yeah, but you can make half of this Nithuim Rishonim, half of this Nithuim Shneim, but the Gemara connects them. Ki ha de, the Gemara seems to connect them. So you're trying to disconnect. So let's just see. Here's the question. Can you change your bashert, yes or no? And then, how does the part one, halacha, work out in the sugya? And how does part two, the story, work out in the sugya? Let's look at Rashi. Says Rashi, last half line of number two. B'lahachi ma'aris b'moed shalo yikadmenu acher b'rachmim shetamos hi. You know why you can do kiddushan chol moed? It's not a davar ha'aved that someone else could marry her. It's a davar ha'aved. What does it mean? Yichad menu achem b'rachmim. It doesn't mean someone else could steal her by davening. No, davening never helps. But it could be like the story. Someone else might daven for her to die. That's the davar ha'aved. First shot is Rashi. Says Rashi, can you change your bashert? No, never, not at all. It can never change. How does the story works fine. The story is Micha. Right? You can't change it. That's why he told him not to daven. Ah, but how is it davar ha'aved? So it's not davar ha'aved if someone might marry your bashert. No, it never changes. It's set in stone. The davar ha'aved is someone might think they want to marry her and daven and get frustrated like this crazy guy and, you know, lose their equilibrium and daven for her to die. Now, we're not going to get into now the issue, which is not our main topic, of why is it bad if someone davens for someone else to die? You know, does that have power? Does it not? Let's just say that's not our issue. That's a davar ha'aved. It's bad. It's at least psychologically bad. Right? So he says, the davar ha'aved is not someone else marrying her. That's impossible. But someone praying for her to die.
And why would we think that someone will pray for her to die? Like this story. If you give the other guy a chance to be in love with her and think he has a havmin of marrying her, and then get frustrated when it doesn't work out, he might end up davening for her to die. Well, if you just nip it in the bud right now, he won't even have a havmin because they'll see she's already in the kadesh with someone else, and he'll leave her alone. Okay, that's Rashi's shot in the sugya. Bashert doesn't change. Second shot. Let's skip to Tosos, number four. Says the Tosos, Rosh right there in Moikatam. Shemi kamenu acher barachmin, ki ha de rova shame lahogavra vichule, mikol makom amim eis ratzon hu vatfilim vatelis hagzera. Sometimes there's an eis ratzon and tefillah could override your fate. Like there's the rove and there's the miyad. Usually tefillah doesn't work. Sometimes it does. And that's the Tosus Rosh in Moikat. And Tosus on the pages of Sanhedrin says the same thing. He says, he doesn't say quite in much detail, but number 8, our Ram Yom Kod Musius of Lad, we come back on mobile tefillah betoch arbaim yamim lehofcho lezachro l'nekeva. How does tefillah work to change a fetus to zachor in a keva if it already has a basheret? Sometimes tefillah can change it. Okay, Tosir is not so explicit as to when tefillah can change it, how tefillah can change it. So, but Tosir thinks tefillah can change it. He's against Rashi. What does he do with our sugya? So let's say it could be that Tosos would agree with the Tosos Rush. So let's put the Tosos Rush here. The answer is, can you change your basheret? Usually not. Sometimes... yes, if you daven in an eight ratzon. Obviously, you have to daven right, it has to be right, etc. Saying usually not, sometimes yes. Yeah.
It makes the follow-up story a bit of a peculiar proof then.
Ah, so the follow-up, so give me a second. According to this, how does the halacha work? Why is it a davar ha'aved? Because sometimes tefillah can change basheret. And even... slight chance of a loss is called davar aved. What if I need to do work on Chol Moed? There's a 5% a 1% chance I might lose money. So that's a davar aved. There's a chance I might lose money. So here he says, because there is a slight possibility, that tefillah can steal my basheret. Right, so the slight possibility is enough to be done with Rabbi. Oh, why in the story did Rabbi tell the guy not to daven if there's a slight possibility that tefillah won't work? Well, because only a slight possibility. Usually tefillah won't work, and therefore you can do something that there's a slight possibility it'll work, but 97% of the time doesn't work, and will end up messing you up psychologically. That's obviously an unwise idea, right? This is still Micha. Because usually... even tefillah can't change it. Then what's the... how is the story brought as a support for the halacha? The story's not a support for the halacha in terms of the metaphysics of whether tefillah can work or not. The other story is the opposite. Rava says, it 90% of the time won't work. Don't daven. Well, the halacha is 2% of the time it might work, so it's a davar ha'aved. The reason the story's being brought is just to show that people often daven to marry a girl who's not destined for them. So the story is just to beef up to support the mitzias that people daven for this, not to support the metaphysics. Okay, we can live with it.
I
want to
do Pshat 3. Pshat 3 is Rashi Savyad. There's a manuscript version of Rashi in Moikatan
where he has 2 pshat in this Gemara, one like the printed Rashi and one unlike the printed Rashi. The Chiddush Aran already brings both of them in the name of Rashi, if I'm not mistaken. Here it's interesting. Let's go back to the Gemara. Look at number 1. The way I printed number 1, mucker number 1 from the Bar Ilan, like these default options, what is in number 1 that's not actually in the original Gemara? It's a bit of, I don't mean which word. Punctuation, right? There's no punctuation in the Gemara. They had not yet invented punctuation. So, let's try to read this without punctuation. Let's go to the 4th line. Start the word lay. Loti bar rachmi hachi. Rava said to the guy, don't daven for Sprintzi. If she's fit for you,
She will. She won't go away from you. You'll get her. Ve'ilo, kafarta beis hay. Our punctuation is beis hay is bahashem. It's not just the punctuation. A Rashi, the printed version of Rashi has it. But of course, beis hay just is the word ba. What if you read it not as beis hay slash, just as beis hay ba? Then what's he saying? If she's your basheret, you'll get her without davening. And if she's not your basheret, you'll be kofar in her. What is he trying to say, you'll be kofar in her? What does he mean by that? If she's your basheret, you don't need to daven, you'll get her. I know we learned last time we said davening helps, but for basheret. It's like a baskol. You don't need to daven, it'll just work. And if she's not your basheret, then you'll be kofar in her. What is he saying, you'll be kofar in her?
Then means you've been
kosher
in your real
basheret. Okay, but then it's a little funny because, like, the pronoun is referring to an antecedent who's not there.
It's maybe perhaps more like the concern of the, you know, you'll end up, perhaps it will be successful. You will marry her and then you will not be.
Aha! Maybe she's not your basheret, but if you daven, you'll end up marrying her. And if you marry her, if she's not your basheret, what happens if you marry someone who's not your basheret? You'll hate her in the end. You love her now, but you'll hate her in the end because she's not for you. She doesn't match you. You'll be kofar in her. So that's what he's saying, is that tefillah might work, but oy vavoy for you if your tefillah works for something that is not fated for you, because then it's in trouble. You know, it's like, you know, you can imagine this could happen. You know, my kids nudging and nudging and nudging, right, to, I don't know, to like go on the part of the playground that's too tall, too hard. Finally say, fine, do it, and they fall and get hurt. Okay, you nudge me enough, I'm going to let you do it. But that doesn't make it, that doesn't mean it's going to work. The reason I didn't want to do it is because it wasn't going to work. If you nudge me enough, I'll let you learn your lesson the hard way. Says Rashi Ksaviyad, number 3, Ve'ilo, im ein bat mazlech, if she's not, notice how we talk about bat mazlech, meaning your bat mazlech literally means, you know, the one who's fated for you, mazel being fate. If she's not fated for you, if she's not your match, l'sof kafartaba, you'll be kofar in her. Meaning tit nachem aleha, you'll change your mind about her. Meaning you'll change your mind and you won't like her anymore. L'shnachrina is the one, same one that we learned in the Pentateuch. So here it's very cool. It says Rashi Ksaviyad, can you change your basheret? Yes. Tfila can let you marry someone who is not. Yeah, sure, tefillah works. But let's say the marriage won't last. Why won't the marriage last? Because it's not your fate. Because she's not for you. The marriage won't last. And that's what, it's a totally different way of reading the word. Then it makes perfect sense. What's the point of the story? The point of the story is that Fila can change your basheret. Fila can get you the wrong girl. But it won't last. And now the halacha makes perfect sense. Dover ha'aved is that someone can daven and temporarily, it won't last. They'll hate each other. But he can temporarily steal your basheret. That's a big dover ha'aved. What are you going to say? Oh, it's not a dover ha'avid. If someone daven and steals my basheret, they'll only be married for a few weeks and then get divorced and hate each other. It's a big dover ha'avid for me. I want them to marry her first. So, that's the third shot in the sugya. So we have three shivas here. Can you change your basheret? Rashi, printer Rashi says never, or not in any circumstances. The dover ha'avid is for something else, not for someone stealing your girl. Tosa says yes in rare circumstances. And Rashi Saviyad says, oh, sure, tefila can change it. But it won't work. It'll only be a temporary thing. The Sefer Hasidim, if we skip for a moment to the end, to 12, he says, he goes even further. Number 12 says the Sefer Hasidim, based obviously on the Rashi Ksaviyad. V'hada amru Sefer Shemikamenu Acher, I'm reading 12, Eina Peir Shvichachena Acher Vishkevenu Galena. He says, of course Tfila can't change and steal someone else's Basheret and marry the wrong girl and sleep with her. Of course, tefillah can't help you marry and consummate the marriage. No, etc. And then he proves it. He says, yeah, it's so temporary, they'll get divorced, or someone will die, or something. The marriage will end before they even sleep together. That's how temporary it will be. Okay, Rashi's not necessarily going that far, but he says, like, yeah, tefillah can work, but so temporary, says Sefer Hasidim, going a little further in the direction of Rashi Ksaviyad, that you won't even consummate the marriage. And then he quotes this, and he obviously has it as kafarta ba. That's what he says. He's very explicit. Kafartuba means you'll divorce her, and you'll even divorce her before you sleep together. Okay, says the Me'iri Pshat 4, number 5. Amar HaMe'iri, Elu Kosman Mamoid V'chuli, Chavanas HaMishal Levar Masher Hutrim Lechzak Siva. It's talking about what type of writing is Mutra Cholomoid. I'm reading number 5. They're all some connection, some type of Dovra Ave. Kiddushay Nashim, Kion Shikit Shemeshtar, means Kiddushay Shtar, you're allowed to write in Cholomoid. Why? Veshema Mitochi Churo. Because maybe if you delay, someone else will marry her. That's all the Me'iri says. He skips the Bakkol. He skips the Tefillah. He skips the story. All he says is Shemi Kadmenu Acher.
Says the Me'iri. Now we're going to have to work on this. Says the Me'iri, oh yeah, it can easily change. It can easily change.
Shemek and Racher. He doesn't even say Rachavim, right? It
can easily change. Stam.
It can change. Of course it can change. That's why it's a Dover Ha'avim.
Of course then the Halacha makes perfect sense. Although you have to ask, what about the word rachamim, right? Lashon of birachamim is difficult because he doesn't even say rachamim. The story
makes no sense whatsoever. After all, the story makes no sense whatsoever. How can it be that that Rav told him it's all determined by Hashem and it can't change if he thinks, like, if you delay, it can change. So we need to figure out this Me'iri a little. He seems to be legamri against the tone of this Gemara. Of course, what kind of philosophy does the Me'iri have? In general? A very rationalist philosophy, right? Somewhat, my mind, the rationalist philosophy. So it makes sense that he would say, what's this, you know, heebie-jeebie stuff about having a baskel announcing who you're fated to marry? Like, anyone can marry anyone. The only problem is, like, you know, how is this supposed to fit into the Gemara? So he doesn't say here, but I think we have to do the one other very important Gemara about Shiduchim, and then we can figure it out. Okay, the part of this Gemara is going to be very disturbing to us, philosophically. So let's start with number 6. The Gemara appears twice, the beginning of Sota, and the second paragraph of Sanhedrin. Amr Shor Yitzhak. But really, Sota is the natural place. Gave a patach reishlachish besota. When reishlachish gave shir p'tichan masechet Sota, Amr Hachi, here's the philosophically disturbing part. When Rish Lakish gave Shir P'tichah Masechet Sota, he started with Inyanei Agada instead of Lundus. I know that's like a very difficult thing for us to swallow, but sometimes there are hard facts that we have to face. So when Rish Lakish gave Shir P'tichah Sota, he started with talking about the Hashkafa, the philosophy of marriage. And what did he say? Because obviously Sota, it's about a bad marriage. What did he say? Amar Hachi, again, we all would have, of course, started with the nature of Isser Sota, etc. Okay. Amar Hachi, Eim Zavgin Lo Adam Ishel Fi Maisav. In heaven, they only set up a man with a woman according to what he deserves. His actions. Shenamrek Lo Yanuach Sheva Reshal Gorol HaTzadikim. The portion of the Rasha will not be next to the portion of the Tzadik, whose portions are next to each other more than husband and wife. Right? I understand. My neighbor, I'm next to, but my wife, I'm Amish next to. So therefore, what he's saying, a bad wife won't get a good husband, a good wife won't get a bad husband. Hashem will set up a tzaddik with a tzaddikas and a rasha with a rishas. I'm a rabbi Baruchan of Yochanan. Kashan zavim kriyas yamsuf. It's as hard to make the shidduch as kriyat yamsuf. Shenamar elokim moshivichidim baita motziyah shirim mikol sharot. Hashem calls a single people to dwell in a house. That's obviously referring to making shidduchim. Motziyah shirim mikol sharot. He takes out the prisoners in the proper way or the proper time. Taking out the prisoners, you'd see it Mitzrayim. We're in prison in Mitzrayim. He took us out. Therefore, making Shiduchim is as hard as you see as Mitzrayim or Kriyat Yamsuf. Same basic story. Now the Gemara says, Ini, is it true that setting up shidduchim is according to what your actions. The Ha'amar Yudam Rav, our Varm Yom Kodim Sirus Ablad, 40 days before the formation of the fetus. Anyone know according to Chazal, at what point in pregnancy is the fetus formed?
40 days.
So 40 days before the fetus is formed means the moment of conception. At the moment of conception, right, when the embryo is conceived, Bat Kol Yotzeva, Bat Kol rings out and says, Bat Ploni Laploni, this girl will marry this guy, Bat Ploni Laploni, stay Ploni Laploni, they'll have this house and this field. Here's the stira. The stira is, on the one hand, it says it's according to your actions, which means since you have free will, it changes in accordance with your actions. On the other hand, the Bat Kol decreed it as a fate. That's not up to your actions. So what is it? Is it Lefi Masav, or is it a Bat Kol? Is it fate? The answer is Lokasha, Hab Zog Rishon, Hab Zog Sheni. No problem. This is Zog Rishon. This is Zog Sheni. Okay, but Pashim Shan and Zog Rishon and Zog Sheni.
First marriage,
second marriage, right? That's what it sounds like from Rashi. I think it's a little too obvious for Rashi. Say Rashi, Zog Rishon Fi Mazel, the first marriage is fate. Zog Sheni Fi Mazel, the second marriage is according to your actions. Lokasha Lazavgan, you know why it's so hard to make second marriages? Fi Sheina Batzugo. Because she's not really your match. The first match is easy to make. What do you mean? It's like it's your fated match. She matches you. The second match, she doesn't match you. But Hashem just says a good guy gets a good girl, a bad guy gets a bad girl. And then, but it's a little hard to match because even two people are good. If they're not fit each other, it's a little hard to make sure that they're going to work out. But Hashem works it out.
How do you get around the issue of being true to the pasuk in Taylor? Is the pasuk only applicable to second matches.
Is only applicable to second matches. Yeah. Okay. Could be. Meaning, we make okimthas and shas, right? If you don't like it, then you'll like all of shas.
Is it only when the first wife dies, or is it like, why would you get divorced if she's your basheret?
Interesting question. Meaning, how can you have a second marriage if you always marry your basheret first? So first of all, someone could die. That's the example. For example, in the Tosos Rosh there, which I didn't put here, he says he is Alma and Almana. But it could also be, remember, there's such thing as Bechira Chafshis. Even if you marry your Bashert, you could decide to do a bad thing which will lead to getting divorced. Right? Like, for example, like, what if the guy decides to become a drug addict? Like, he has Bechira Chafshis. Hashem has to let him. Right? I mean, it's not encouraged. And if he becomes a drug addict, like, eventually his wife's going to divorce him, right? Like, what is she supposed to do?
Become a drug addict with him. Perfect for each other.
I guess that's one answer. No, or whatever. Like, he can start beating his wife, right? I mean, Hashem can't stop him from beating his wife because he has Bechir Chavshis. So even if they're a great match, you can still mess it up. But the point is that the first time around, it's a good match. Like, to mess it up, you have to use a Bechir Chavshis to do an Aveira. It's not going to just spam get divorced because you're not compatible. But through Bechir Chavshis, like, everyone can do whatever they want. And unfortunately, they can mess... I mean, lots of people mess up their lives in many ways, and... not just Hashem, like, I don't want them to, but I can't stop them because they have Bechir Chavshis. Okay, when you get older, you'll see. That it's very frustrating that people have Bechir Chavshis. Because sometimes you know better than they do. And they won't listen to you. In general, it's a called Gadol Begin, that every human being wants himself to have Bechir Chavshis and his kids not to. Kids should follow me. Okay, Vayitra. Now, here is the interesting part. Zog Rishon, Zog Sheni. So according to this, and obviously this whole Gemara Moed Katan is about Zog Rishon. Right? That's what they think. Zog Sheni is a different story. That Gemara Moed Katan is about Zog Rishon. Again, could you have said the story is Zog Rishon and the Halacha Zog Sheni? It would be hard to fit into the flow of the Gemara. That Gemara is about Zog Rishon. But here says the Meiri something else. What's the problem? The Meiri's rationalist. Right? If you're a rationalist, like, why should it be fated who you'll marry? Let's, even before we get to the Meiri, let's skip to the Rambam number 10. Shuvah the Rambam to Rav Avadya Ger Tzedek. Number 10. She'ela al hakol b'di Yisrael chutz miyashamayim. That's the principle of Bechir Chavshis, free will. Everything is up to Hashem except for whether we do the right or wrong thing. Shuvah. Here, obviously, we don't have the full text of the question. The question was longer than that. Shuvah, the answer is, Al Masha Marta Taki Kol Maaseh B'nei Adam Einim Gzeirin Tnei Avori Yata'alo. When you say all human actions are not decreed by Hashem, who I am it? That's true. She'im Bodofi, without doubt. L'fikach notlin lo sachar malach derchua. That's why you get rewarded for doing the right thing. But if Rami Menachol derchua, you got punished for doing the wrong thing. Kol Maaseh B'nei Adam Chal Yirat Shemayim Heim. And all human actions are Yirat Shemayim, because there's always a better thing and a worse thing to do. V'sof kol davar davar ma'aseh v'nei adam bali dei mitzvah aveira. And the end of everything you do is a mitzvah or an aveira. V'zesha omer azal kol bidei shemayim. So what do they mean, everything is up to Hashem? And hoshal olam. No, the rest of the world is up to Hashem. And toldotav and all the things in the world. The tiva and the nature. Go mini elanot. The trees are up to Hashem. V'chayot, the animals. Very spiritual essences. All those things are up to Hashem. But what we do is up to us. I'll tell you more proofs there. I also discussed it. Anyone who abandons our belief, what I said about free will, which is built on the pillars of the world, and you find some agad or some medrash or some place in the Gaonim, you find one word that is a steward, what we said. What we said is intelligent and logical. It's just committing intellectual suicide. And it's enough punishment what he did to himself. What the Rambam is saying here is a klal, is that you know how it works. If you look through all the Makoros, you can find a sentence to support anything. Right? There's so many Midrashim out there, you can find everything. Those people who don't believe in Bechira Chafshis can find like six or seven places in Chazal against Bechira Chafshis. And the Rambam is saying, no, you have to have perspective. There's like the clear basic ideas of Judaism. And if you find a couple of lines here and there which are against them, then you don't change your mind about clear basic ideas. You just figure out a way to have a different shot in those few lines. Therefore, the Rambam believes in Mechira Chafshis. Is fine. So far, we're with him. V'zesha amr lach rabcha. And well, how your Rebbe told you about ploni to ploni, the creed who you'll marry. Umamash al ploni to ploni, the creed what money you'll have. In gzeir hashaveh b'kol hizot v'adar k'pshutan. If this applies in all circumstances, like the simple pshat, meaning, really Hashem decrees you'll marry, lama nemer v'torah, pen yomod v'mokmane shekher yuchanav, shekher yuchalenu. If it's really decreed what field you have and who you'll marry, why does it say, right, if the guy was Makadesh and didn't do Nisuin, he should go back for more lest he die and someone else marry her? How can someone else marry her if it's Mashert? Right? Obviously, it's not so simple. And also, maybe he won't eat the grapes, he won't farm the vineyard. Why? It's decreed what son he'll have. No, obviously it's not so simple. Can anyone have a doubt about this after it says explicitly in the Torah? This is the fitting way for someone who has a good heart, who understands, to take the right way. So take what's explicit in the Torah as a yesod, that you'll never destroy, and that peg that will never move. You find something in the Nevi'im, or some line in Chazal, which argues and contradicts this, then you have to really think hard until you re-understand that line in the Navi or the Chazal. If you can figure a way to interpret them that match what's in the Torah, great. If not, you'll say, Tzarchi, and I don't understand it. They're high matters, they don't mean the simple pshat. Okay, says the Rambam, don't take one line and deny the Bechira Chafshis. Fine. Zesh Amar Chacham Bidrash Lavon and Ploni. But now, how is it decreed who you'll marry if you have Bechira Chafshis? The answer is, Derech Schar or Derech Poronis. So that's a matter of Schar Va'onish. Shem Zeh Ha'isha Zot Ha'isha Asu Mitzvah Shabari Litein Schar Rabim Zivu Yafeh. So if this man or woman did mitzvah, and it's fitting for Hashem to reward them with a good shidduch, Meshavach, HaKadosh Rabim Zavim Zavim. A man deserves a reward, a woman deserves a reward. Hashem will put two good people together. Or if they both deserve a punishment of having fighting in war their whole life, Tamid Mizavgan. Hashem will match them up to each other. Mamzer, bad people, Hashem will match them up. And it doesn't apply to everyone in all circumstances, just if you deserve a punishment or reward. Like Hashem says, meaning, not everyone is going to deserve this, but if you deserve a punishment or reward, Hashem will set it up. Okay, we got the point. Says the Rambam, it's in accordance with your actions, reward, or punishment. Nothing to do with fate, nothing to do with taking away your choice. Just Hashem will help you get a good shidduch, or will help you get a bad shidduch. And if you don't want to, then you won't. But, you know, most people, they're looking to get married, and who they'll marry is not up to them, because it's sort of random who they'll meet, etc. So random means Hashem takes care of it, and Hashem will do reward and punishment. Of course, what's the steer between Makor 10 and Makor 6? The Rambam says that whenever it says Hashem makes shiduchim, it's schar ve'onesh. Didn't the Gemara say that's only zivuk sheni? It's only zivuk sheni. How could the Rambam say that's everyone? Basically, the Rambam is saying what the Gemara says about zivuk sheni is everyone. So how do you defend the Rambam? So here's a little tip I'll give you. When the Rambam says something and there's a Gemara against him philosophically, what's the best book to open? The Mor Devuchim usually does not deal with steers from Gemaras. That the Perish what? That only helps if it's a Mishnah. But if it's a Gemara, it's not going to help.
The Shutashpit?
No. The Me'iri. The Me'iri will always interpret every Gemara in accordance with Maimonidean philosophy, if he can. Like, every Gemara you read that you're like, that's problem for the Rambam, he specifically said the opposite, or like he would say the opposite based on things he said. You open up the Me'iri and you can find it. I'm not going to go through all the Gemaras now, you know, whatever. A famous Gemara in Ari Pesachim says that, you know, if you have even number of things, then the demons get you. And you want to know, well, what does the Rambam think of that Gemara? So if you open the Me'iri, he deals with it. So let's look at the Me'iri number 9. We already see how the Me'iri super rationalized the Gemara Moed Katan. He just didn't explain it. But let's see what he does in number 9. Says the Me'iri, "Mipinot hadat misodotehu l'hama v'yoshe mishpeh Hashem Yisbarach." A cornerstone and foundation of religion is to believe in the righteousness of God's judgment. I'm reading 9. You're always rewarded in punishment and everything in accordance with your actions, of tovah and rah, whether good or bad. That's rationalist. I mean, keep in mind, when I say rationalist, I don't mean secular. I'm religious rationalist. What's religious rationalist? To say there's no like fate, there is reward and punishment. That's a rational religious idea. And reward and punishment will not be stopped by constellations or stars or happenstance. Sometimes Hashem will leave you up to happenstance or your fate if you don't deserve either reward or punishment if you're neutral. But you can really call it an onish outside of keag mold roy mold. Because Hashem could have rewarded you and he should have done something to earn a reward. Except that if you're not fitting for it, if we didn't expect you to do good things, it's not called an onish. Basically says the Me'iri, there's three ways the world works. If you do something good, Hashem will reward you. If you do something bad, Hashem will punish you. And if you don't do anything to deserve reward or punishment, he'll just leave you to blind fate, to like whatever happens. You know, like of course there's a fate. What does a fate mean? If God doesn't get involved in the world, things will run a certain way. It's not like a mystical fate. It's a physical fate. Everyone has a physical fate. If you ask a scientist who doesn't believe in free will, they'll say everything that happens to you is fated. When you're born, the laws of physics decree what will happen. Right? So if you don't deserve reward or punishment, you have fate. But it's not a mystical thing. It's just a natural thing. Okay, continuing. V'imkin haziva gafumi kal gvul hofko. Shiduchim, who you'll marry, is including reward or punishment. V'hazben Hashem v'gorolo isha maskelef aguna. Hashem will give you as your fate a wise and proper woman, or a hefech, or unfortunately the opposite. That they meant that in heaven they only make a shit according to your actions. If you're tanua, you'll get a tanua. If you're a parrot, you'll get a prutz. Etc. Whoever tries to make shidduchim, it's hard. Why is it hard? Because it has to be reward and punishment. And, like, we don't know what people deserve reward and punishment. There's some point in the Masha Omer, and they kind of smacked how hard it is. Just like taking the Jewish prisoners out of Mitzrayim was Hashgach of Hashem. Likewise, making Shidduchim is divine providence from him. Here's a parenthesis, why it's called Kasharot, Peshubatam and Amar, Bechodeshu Kasher, let's say, they explained in the Yerushalmi, means in a month that is good to go out. It's Nisan. By the way, here's an emergency Shevet Brachas Bar Torah if you ever need one. Chazal say it's as hard as Kriyas Yamsuf. What's the drasha? Hashem makes people yichid and baita, puts two people together. It's like motzi asir mekoshar, like taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim. So far, so good. It's as hard to make shiduchim as to take the Jews out of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Bikosharot, in a good month. Why is that necessary? Why does that have to add like Nisan was good weather? So, the Shevet Brachas Bar Torah you can use for any Shevet Brachas is. It's an interesting thing. Like, who cares what the weather is? You were slaves for 400 years in Egypt. Hashem's freeing you and bringing you to the land of Israel.
does it really matter what the weather is? And if it had been cold outside, we wouldn't have think that Hashem Yisrael was trying. If it had been hot outside, it wouldn't have been a miracle. Like, what's the big deal of, you know, kosher? Like, it seems like insignificant compared to Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Okay. So the answer is, we see from this pasuk, that even though there are very big things going on, you can't lose sight of appreciating the small things as well. As big as Yitzhak Mitzrayim is, the fact that it was good weather needs a whole word in the pasuk to appreciate. And that's part of making successful shiduchim, as big as the dreams and ideals and love of the Chasam Kala is now, the success is going to come from appreciating the small things that you do for each other every day and appreciating the power of the small acts that bring you closer together, that show you're caring for one another, and b'chuli, b'chuli. Okay, now you have something in your back pocket. It's a nice part, no? Okay, Viter, let's get back to philosophy, because that was not philosophy. That was just life. Now, we're up to the second to last line of the first page. He says, hold on a second. The Rambam says Shiduchim is Schar Va'onesh. The Meiri says Shiduchim is Schar Va'onesh. They say there's no fate, there's no stars, there's no mysticism here. Just, again, by no mysticism, I don't mean secular. I mean rational religion. Rational religion is that Hashem does Schar Va'onesh. So, isn't that only Zivik Sheni? Then we do have a Zivik Sheni. The Gemara made no kin to the tongue of Zivik Sheni. So, what does Zivik Sheni mean? Shubizman roi la'onesh of Gemol. Zivik Sheni means you deserve reward or punishment. How old do you have to be to deserve reward or punishment in general? 13. What if you get married before you're old enough to deserve reward and punishment? Then what will determine who you get, who you marry? Well, it can't be reward and punishment because you're not old enough. So it's just, I don't know, blind physical fate, right? Just like, I don't know, you were born in a certain place, the laws of physics decreed you would meet at some point. Like just, you know, insignificant physical fate. That's what he says. Not she'ena roi l'kach l'nei zivug rishon. Zivug rishon means when you're not yet bar mitzvah. Mitzach yestomo b'zanakatnos. Why? Because in the old days, people often get married first when they were still ketanim. Samach l'perek, before bar bat mitzvah. Who are you going to marry when you don't have reward and punishment yet? I mean, what would happen in the whole world with that reward and punishment? I don't know, just however it works out. Mikra. Oh, Marechas HaDolad, the system, how you were born, like how it was set up. That's they meant 40 days before the fetus is born. The Batkol says, which they ploni the ploni also, who you'll marry and what field you get as your dowry. The aim loshens of exchange of addictive. Rather than literally first and second marriage. If he has man, it means first time period of your life and second time period of your life. Should roy the gummel and onish that you're fit to get rid of punishment. They were talking about their social reality when people get married first at 12. And if it was a second marriage, you're already later. So let's take this Gemara. Zivug Rishon or Zug Rishon, that is fate. Zivug Sheni is Lifi Ma'asav. Says Rashi and Tosos, even though I didn't put the Tosos on the page, but there he agrees. Zivug Rishon means first marriage. First marriage is your mystical soulmate. As Rashi says, that's easy to match up, because you match each other. It's your mystical soulmate. Second marriage is Schar Va'onesh. Says the Meiri and Lechora the Rambam, right? Lechora the Rambam would agree. I mean, I don't know, but let's assume he agrees with the Meiri. He's coming to defend. No, Zivug Rishon means child marriage. If you get married as a child, then it is just the blind workings of nature. That's a baskol. Baskol doesn't mean your mystical baskol rings out. It just means everything's a baskol. Meaning, let's think about it. Let's say I find a physicist who doesn't believe in free will, and doesn't believe in God, and doesn't believe in reward and punishment. He'll tell me everything is fate. Everything that happens, the laws of physics determine what will happen. Not significant deep fate, shallow surface, laws of physics fate. So Meir says you're right. Until you're old enough to get reward and punishment, it's just fate. This is adult marriage. Adult marriage, that is Schar Va'onesh Lefi Ma'asav. Now, This, of course, makes a tremendous difference. What the machlokas between Rashi and Tosos here in the Rambam? The machlokas is all of us know this, right? According to Rashi and Tosos, this is us. Sorry, not the TV show. This is us. We are all having a first marriage. Maybe someday we'll have a second marriage. Who knows what'll happen? You know, maybe someday when we're old, we'll get remarried. No one knows what'll happen. But we have a first marriage. That's fake, nothing with Skarva Onesh. But according to the Meiri, what are you talking about? Child marriage is illegal nowadays. Even the Hasidim don't get married before Bar and Bat Mitzvah. So none of us have a Zug Rishon. Zug Rishon doesn't apply to us, which is good, because that's just blind workings of chance, fate, and which is not terribly exciting. All of our Shidduchim are Lefi Skarva Onesh. If we're doing mitzvahs, Hashem might reward us using the rules of Skarva Onesh for the good Shidduch, same as he rewards everything else. And if we do Aviros, then unfortunately, the opposite. Now, if we take the Meiri back, I don't know how smooth it's going to be, but we should try to stick this back in Bav Metzia. What do we mean here? What in Bav Metzia can easily change Stam? Let's add via Skarva Onesh. After all, how does it change? We know what the Meiri said. It changes because through Skarva Onesh, Hashem helps you get a better or worse Shidduch. I think we can understand. The halacha, why is it a dover ha'aveg? It's nicha, because it might change. And birachamim means, right, in general, bischar masim tovim. Why is it a dover ha'aveg to get married in chol ha'moed? Because it's schar ve'onesh. So why would anyone steal my girl if it's schar ve'onesh? Because someone might do davening and other mitzvos and deserve a better sky than I do. Maybe Sprintzy is the best girl in the world. And if I don't do Kiddush on Cholom HaWait, by the end of Yontif, someone might do her a mitzvah, then he'll deserve her. How about the story? The story is going to be the trickiest part for the Meiri. So I think what you have to do with the story, and the flow is going to be tricky here. So I think what you have to do for the story is say, what's the point of the story? After all, if it can change through Skarva Onesh, why do you tell the guy not to daven? Maybe Rava meant that Schar Ve'onesh can change who you will marry. But just asking won't do anything. Meaning it's a more general Schar Ve'onesh. Yes, if you become a tzaddik, maybe Hashem will give you a great girl. But just asking is not going to help. Because if you deserve her, you'll deserve it through Schar Ve'onesh. And if you don't deserve her, then it's not going to help. It's still a little tricky how to transition in the sugya from the Reish to the Seifa. And it's also tricky. Doesn't davening isn't a great way to earn Schar like we discussed last time. So I'm still going to leave it a little bit sorry. Ian, you can think if you have a better Hezbollah burn from Eri. The Meir himself says nothing whatsoever there. Just that it can change. But, at least in this sugya, we have two clear opinions. Now I want to read something that should be a good model for all of us. There are two ways of looking at the world, really. Rashi and Tosfos have a mystical way of looking. Again, I don't mean religious and secular. Sometimes people nowadays think mystical is religious, and rational means secular. No, they're all religious. There are just two different ways to look at religion. Mystically, like, there are some things that are just are for, like, deep mystical reasons that we don't understand. Or rational, no, everything that happens is because of a logical rule such as Skarva Onesh. You know, mystical, like, I don't know, like, souls have their own, like, secret lives. Or rational, no, only things that you do affect things. So, nowadays, if there are some people that have a mystical interpretation of something like Kabbalah, and other people that have a rational interpretation of it, then what would we say? So half the Jews would say, these ones are from, and the other ones are recursive. The other half would say, these ones are from, and the other ones are stupid. Or, if they're a certain sect of Yemenites, they say the other ones are apocryphal. Right? Meaning, the sect of Yemenites will hold that anyone who believes in Kabbalah loses their faith in all matter. But we're not getting into the let's look at number 11, the Shatash Beitz. Back in the old days, people were more chill. There are two different philosophies. They're like, okay, there are two different philosophies among the Gedolim. We should learn both of them. So let's see how chol the Tashbitz was. Says number 11, Ze'oni Yucholon Tashbitz, one of the last Rishon, right? He was the Gadol HaDor of North Africa back when being Gadol HaDor of North Africa was a big deal. I think nowadays it's not quite so hard anymore. I'm not sure if how many. I mean, there are Jews left in North Africa, but you know, not you can count them all in one day. But says the Tashi, Zerichol Mufarshal Shtepan, and we can interpret this idea of Vasher two ways. Derech Mekablei Emes, the way of the true Kabbalah. The philosophers on the Derech Kabbalah. What's the Kabbalistic way? Shenamiki and Hashemus Nivrum or Rishon. To believe that souls existed. Basically, the Mekubalim hold your soul existed before you were born. When I was a kid, there was a Journey song that, like, the souls talking to each other before they come down to the world. I don't know if people listen to it anymore. Right? That's a Kabbalistic idea that a soul lives up there before it comes down. And they were created with the first or in Bereshis. Everybody brings proofs. Okay, we don't have to go through all the proofs of that the Mekubalim and some Midrashim hold that souls existed before they came down. Then it makes sense. The souls were already there before they came down into this world, and they already had Shidduchim come up in heaven. That was Nigzar. I mean, the Batkol is the mystical soul made up in heaven. You know this idea that, like, a soul gets split in half, half goes to a girl, half to a boy, then to me? That's the mystical idea. The souls are up in heaven. They have their match. Then they get separated from each other. They find each other again. That's the mystical idea. And that fits Rashi and Tosfos. First match is this mystical idea. Can it change? Maybe not. Maybe only a little, but generally not. Now, what's the philosophical way? That your nature and character is set up by heavenly forces. And therefore, logically, you know, the result will be that this person will have these sons or daughters, and then we look at this, they'll marry this. According to the reading the Rambam, what does it mean the bat kol rings out 40 days before the fetus is formed? It means from the beginning of the world, there were laws of physics which determined everything that would happen. Unless you throw in the one curveball, which is called Bechira Chavshis. Right? And it's not 40 days, Dafka. It means when the world was created, the laws of physics determined everything that would come from there. Even though you have Bechira, you could change your fate. If you follow your mind, you use Bechira. But if you follow your nature without Bechira, then the fate will happen. And when you use your mind and your Bechira to change your fate, that's a pshat from the board. Means you use your Bechira to earn Schar V'Onesh. And that's what they meant. Okay. So those are the two. There's a mystical soulmate first time, because your soul had a match up in heaven. Or no, there's just like the workings of the world until you change it through using Bechira. Now, these are the two main pshat that I found in the Rishon about who you'll marry. However, all the Achronim agree with the third pshat, which is the Pshara.
I found it first in the Be'er Sheva, at least first besides the Kabbalistic Svarim, which I'm not as familiar with. But all of the Achronim agree with the Be'er Sheva.
The Be'er Sheva has a nice pshara. Says the Be'er Sheva, what are the two pshats in there? On the one hand, Rashi and Tosfos believe you have a mystical soulmate who's destined for you. The Rambam and the Meiri don't. On the other hand, the Rambam and the Meiri believe that even your first marriage is affected by your actions. Rashi and Tosfos don't. He says, nope, your first marriage is affected by your actions, and you have a mystical soulmate. How does that work? Look at number 14, Be'er Sheva. Hagah. Hadar mina ha-baziv rishon ha-baziv ha-sheni, ra-isimo perushim rabin shomai. So many perushim in the Rishon. Here's an early Achronim. Lo Yashru Meina, he sometimes quoted the Magen Avraham ever quotes the Beis Shin, it's the Be'er Sheva, one of the earliest Achronim on Shas. He only wrote a Masechtas where there was no Tosfos, at least in the early printings of Shas, like there's no Tosfos on the side. Sometimes there's Tosfos on the bottom, with the later printings added. Because there's no Tosfos, he felt he needed to write the Perush to fill them. So, says the Be'er Sheva, the Lakach Lokas Avdim. I didn't like them. And what I like is what I've seen in the later Mekubalim. Before a fetus is formed, they announce in heaven the soulmate that matches it. Who is Zivgam Rishon? That's a Rishon. When he is born and it's time for to get married, they judge him in heaven according to his actions, im zochi lena. If he's good, he gets his basheret, he gets his mystical soulmate. Bim lav, you ever in a man fifth. Not they take him away and give her to someone better. Who's zivig shenu fi masa? What is he saying? Let's just write this. Zivig rishon, it's not first, second marriage, or first stage of life, second stage of life. It is like plan A versus plan B. Right? It is. This is the, what do I mean by plan A? Plan A, I mean, like the ideal scenario, right? Ideal, plan A, and this is the practical plan B. What do I mean? I mean that you have mystical soulmate. Everyone has, but which you only get if you deserve. And what does this mean? What's the schar va'onesh? The schar va'onesh is schar equals you get your soulmate. Onesh equals you get someone worse, or at least less compatible than your soulmate. Here you see it's a pshar. He's having cake and you have a mystical soulmate, but it's determined by your masin. And it just means plan A and plan B. Your ideal plan is to get a mystical soulmate, but you don't automatically get your soulmate. You only get your soulmate if you deserve the schar of getting a soulmate. And if not, then you get someone worse. So here's the three chalach lemaisi. You want to know who you're going to marry? Three-way machlokas. Rashi and Tosu says, first time around, you'll marry your soulmate. Doesn't depend on anything. Maybe tefillah sometimes temporarily, but basically doesn't depend on anything. Second time, that's random. That's just schar onesh. Says me, Rama, there is no mystical soulmate. It's just you get what you deserve. Says the Be'er Sheva and all the Achronim, Shara, you have a mystical soulmate. If you deserve her, you'll get her. And if you don't live up to it, then you'll get someone worse. Lamaisa, two of the three Pshatim say, who are you going to marry? Depends on your massing. So if you ask me for dating advice, obviously the first dating advice comes well before you go out on a date. It's to improve your massing. And the more you improve your masim, then the better mimonishah. Whether you have a soulmate or not, according to the last two pshatim, you'll get the best girl if you have the best masim. And if not, then you will not.
How is it fair to, like, let's say the girl, the guy, the scarvonish, let's say he... Like,
okay, so I'm not going to answer that question now because it's late. But basically, like, everything that involves two people, it's always like, how is it fair to the other one based on what happens to you? And the answer is going to be, and I really think I can defend this if you give me an hour, is that somehow God's so smart that he gets it all to work out somehow for everyone in ways that, like, we wouldn't have thought of. But he, like, works it out. Somehow. How does he work it out? Somehow, because he has lots of tricks up his sleeve. So he always, like, can throw in some other factor to make it work out. So let's trust him that we're not clever enough to work it out. Right? What's the problem with humans? Whenever we want to change one thing in the system, it messes up everything else, and then we don't know what to do. Let's assume God is so smart, he can change one thing in the system and also get everything else to work out somehow. All right. And how? You know what? If I sat like for like a week with every case, I could probably figure out what he might do, except that he can figure out all the cases right away. Okay. I think this is basically all the sheets we have in Jewish philosophy that I know of about Bashert, and shows you the importance of one little slash, Hashem Rabba, interestingly, in the Gemara. And, okay, Bezrat Hashem, we should all do good masim. And whether we believe in a mystical soulmate or not, we should all get what we need. Okay, we'll continue. Topic Amir Hashem tomorrow. Tomorrow, next week, it will not be... Will it be based on Parsha Shavua? I don't know. Should I talk about Parsha Shavua again?
Sure.
Okay. Next time we'll also tie into Parsha Shavua. It will not be about lentil soup, though. But we'll figure out something else that ties into Parshat HaShavua. Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you.